Provence, a valley of vineyards and parasol pines, stretches off into a hazy distance of bluish hills. In the sun, the cicadas are singing. While in the cool of a huge warehouse built next to an old chateau, they're bottling up pale pink wine. Whispering Angel, it's called. They gave it an English name. For 2 years running, it's been the best-selling wine in the United States, ahead of any white or any red, especially popular with women and millennials. The big boss, Sacha Lichine, was off on a business trip, predictably, leaving me in the capable hands of his communications director, Tom Schreckinger.
Whispering is our most predominant label. This year we're producing over 6 million bottles.
And how many of those 6 million are sold in the United States?
Well, good heavens, our business in the States is in excess of 60%.
Schreckinger takes me past two bottling plants mounted on trucks that have been brought in to help out, and up onto a raised walkway from where we look down onto the old stone shay, or winery. Next to it is what looks like a Bijou oil refinery, where production has expanded to fill the courtyard.
Remind me how much it retails for, Whispering Angel?
In the US, $22.99.
19 euros. It sells for around 18 in France, which is about four times what a decent bottle of rosé usually costs here. For that, you get a reliable, high-quality wine that is not dissimilar to many other, much cheaper Provençal rosés. But this winery is also pioneering something that has never existed before. Grand rosés. Vintage rosé wine, partly aged in oak. Unlike anything I'd ever tasted. Much more complex, quite impressive. As are the prices. The most expensive sells for $100, about 77 euros a bottle.
They're barrel fermented, they are food driven, and they're amongst rosés that, you know, represent this bizarre disconnect between themselves and the category at large. Mm. Because you just don't find rosés like that. And in fact, that was Sasha's proclamation when he started the project in 2006. I'm making the world's greatest and most expensive rosé. It's called Garousse.
Down on the coast, in the ritziest fishing village in the world. There's not much dancing the twist these days, more's the pity, but plenty of yacht owners ready to pay lots of money to moor where they can be gawped at by the ice cream licking masses. If people here aren't going to buy $100 rosé, I don't know who is. I'm going to one of the restaurants the yachty types like, where the decor incidentally is entirely white. It's called the Girelier, which is a kind of fish apparently. I've come here to listen and learn and possibly take a sip or two with wine waiter Julien Dre.
Here we go.
It's very slightly pink, but it's very subtle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rosé is made with the same grapes you use to make red wine. Grenache, in particular, in Provence. It's pink instead of red because the skins are taken off the grapes early on in the winemaking process. Dre tells me the paler a rosé is, the more they sell. People think it's healthier, he says.
When you try the wine, so it has very explosive fruity in the start, and we're looking for grapefruit, we're looking for fish.
Ah, grapefruit, you're right.
Grapefruit, yeah. And a pish.
Actually, I never did find a pish. At restaurants like this, big reds and whites from Burgundy and Bordeaux once ruled the roost, but not anymore.
When you come in holidays, I want to drinking a rosé wine. It's a sun, it's a rosé wine.
Is rosé a good choice with food?
Rosé wine, it's a wine for all food, with the meat, with the fish, with the pasta, with the cheese. It's a perfect match all the time.
One person who would agree is Elizabeth Gabay, the author of a book released this year called Rosé Revolution. She says it was basically the Queen of England who started it.
For the coronation for Queen Elizabeth, one of the champagne houses, Paul Roger, created a pink champagne, and it suddenly became the fashionable drink. In the 1950s, James Bond drank it, Princess Margaret drank it, Brigitte Bardot and Saint-Tropez drank it. It epitomised glamour and fun and youth. But the quality still wasn't brilliant for still rosé. And then at the end of the 1980s, early 90s, wine technology caught up and they started to make in Provence increasingly better rosé, better understanding of temperature, control, pressing. When I was doing the book last year, and I think I had over 2,000 rosés in 6 months, different rosés, and by the end, I thought, I'm going to celebrate with a really gorgeous bottle of red wine. And I just couldn't face it. I just got so used to drinking rosé wine because it is relaxing and easy, and you can get through quite a bit of rosé, which is a bit scary.
I spoke to Gabi as she prepared a masterclass on rosés from the Loire Valley. All the wine-producing regions of France are producing rosés now. Lots of them, lots of variety. Many of them very good, she says. But this revolution also has its reactionaries. On the street market in the village of Ramatuelle near Saint-Tropez, a man tries to sell people a vegetable peeler you never knew you needed, and let's face it, you probably don't. Perched on a hill surrounded by vineyards and largely rosé winemakers, this is a place that attracts the sort of upper-end French tourists that care quite a lot what sort of wine they drink. And not all of them are convinced by the pink-coloured arriviste.
Pour moi, le rosé, ce n'est pas tout à fait du vin. C'est en fait...
For me, rosé is not real wine. The vinification process is very different from that used to make reds and whites. It's technically more complex. And above all, I love red wine, so I don't know why I should start drinking rosé.
J'ai beaucoup aimé le vin rosé jusqu'à un certain soir au beau de...
I liked rosé very much until a certain night in Provence, when liking rosé turned into rosé abuse. It's so fresh, so charming, but it's treacherous. If you're having a pleasant evening, you can drink much too much of it.
Which may be why the young are so keen on it. A US survey shows 65% of millennials drink rosé a lot, though probably not to such a degree as to prevent them outliving the older, more red and white generations. It's quite likely, therefore, that the rosé revolution is just beginning. John Lawrenson, DW, Provence.